Thank you all for coming out tonight. I am not a public speaker. We did spiritual gift test about a week ago, and that was not one of mine. So I have written this out. I'm going to probably read it word for word. I might not look up very much. So just know that I've prayed over this a lot, and I started this testimony writing, 2 months ago? So I've spent hours wondering what in the world I was going to say. I have no idea how this is going to turn out, but I do know that it's really not my words, that it's the words of God coming out. So it's his story, not mine. So whatever happens tonight is going to happen. So y'all just hope that I make it through it. I started coming to Life Church. My name's Wendy, if you didn't hear Courtney say that. Started coming to Life Church back in April of 2019, and I actually became a member in June and was baptized in June. So that's where it starts. Courtney stole some of my scripture. The scripture she was talking about, 1 Peter, it's just talking about making sure that you have all your ducks in a row so you can tell your story. So the next one, I didn't know this was the light's motto, but Matthew 5:14-16, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see the good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. All right, here we go. Our testimony is a story. It's our story. It's a story about how we came truly to know Jesus, how we repented of our sins and decided to follow Christ without any waiver. Everyone has one. Maybe yours is dramatic and filled with deliberate sin, rebellion, godly encounters, and near misses with disaster just before understanding God's grace. Some can be considered quite boring, just a seemingly normal person who's known Jesus all of their life. Either way, each one is very important and should be shared with our peers. Maybe you're here tonight and you're still trying to figure yours out. But it's not just about the before we knew him or the moment of salvation, because we are continuously adding to our stories. We continue to share them and our experiences as Christians throughout a time on this earth. God instructs us to share our stories of his blessings and his mercy and his grace. She kind of stole this one too. Mark 5:19, Jesus said this. This was his words. Come home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much mercy and how he has had mercy on you. A testimony is about what we know to be true. It is not what we think or what we have heard, but the absolute truth. The facts about things that have happened to us, decisions that we have made and paths that we have taken, and how God has delivered us from all of it. How he has forgiven us, made us whole, and delivered us from all of our sin. He's taken away all the hurt and shame. It's how he instructs and guides us as believers. Our testimony gives others hope and direction. It gives non-believers something tangible that they can hold on to. And it gives believers new perspectives and new tools to help them in their future witness. Our testimony shows others what Jesus has done for us and what he can do if you only believe in him. So, with all that said, here we go. For me, knowing about Jesus and what he could do wasn't the issue. However, knowing how to have a true relationship with him was. I knew all the prayers of salvation. I knew most of the major stories in the Bible. Courtney can attest to that. I knew all the scriptures that you told somebody that was a non-believer, and I'd even felt God in my heart many times. So I knew what it was like, and I knew that he was real. I knew that he was there, I just didn't always know how to access him properly. I'd never actually tapped into all he had to offer. My very early childhood was really a blur. I don't remember a whole lot of detail about it, and the timelines always get mixed up in my head. I know we didn't have much as far as money and material things, but we never wanted for any of the necessities of life. My parents were, they always showed us love and taught us right from wrong and tried to instill really good morals. We went to church on a regular basis, quote, my dad always said, every time the doors were open. If any of y'all ever grew up like that, it was my dad, and that's what he always told us that. We always learned Bible verses, attended vacation Bible school, and all the other church events. I remember walking up to the altar at age 7 or 8 and asking Jesus into my heart. Shortly after that, I was baptized, because that's what you do when you're a kid in Baptist church. You get in the pool. So we stopped going when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I'm not really sure why. We just didn't go on a regular basis anymore. But although we didn't go to church on a regular basis, I still knew God was in my heart. My parents and my grandparents were both believers, and that kept God at least in some household conversations. I never really thought growing up that I blamed God for the bad things that have happened in my life, for the struggles that I had to endure, and for not giving me the same opportunities that I thought my peers might have had. I just always questioned, why me? That was a constant question in my mind. Why was my life such a struggle? When I was very young, I'm not really sure what age it was. It just kind of gets all mixed up in my head. I was actually molested by someone that I knew, someone that I trusted. I really don't remember a whole lot of the details or the exact timeline. It just kind of gets all mixed up. But I always wondered why. I never could understand why God had, if he had a plan for my life before I was even born, how could he allow this to happen? Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people, to innocent children? I never told anybody about it, just never had the courage to tell anybody. Not until recently when God gave me that courage and cleansed me of all that burden. I'll get to all that here in a minute. I can see now that after this happened, trusting other people and depending on others was non-existent for me. I've never really trusted anybody, never depended on anyone for anything, not wholeheartedly anyway, not even God. I found that for years I felt as though that I was owed an explanation by God. I think back now, and I'm sure that some of the decisions, a lot of the decisions that I've made in my life were a direct result of this whole encounter. Now, as an adult and a true follower of Jesus, I realize that Satan uses memories like this and things like this to create turmoil in your life. He makes you feel ashamed and alone. He convinces you to keep that basket over your light and to keep you hidden from all the wonderful things that God has in store for your life. All right. Like I said, the early years, they're kind of a blur. But soon after this time, I remember I just really didn't fit in anywhere. I felt just really different. I didn't enjoy doing what the other girls in my neighborhood enjoyed doing. My sister, I had an older sister. I just felt like I was kind of an outcast. All the women, my mom, my sister, my grandmothers, they all tried to make me be the little girl that I was supposed to be. But I despised it. I hated it. I wouldn't do anything that they asked me to do. Never wore dresses, never wore makeup. I just hated it. I felt like being a girl made me vulnerable. I felt like I just couldn't be myself. I used to tear up my dresses on the weekdays so I wouldn't have to wear them on Sunday morning. But they wouldn't let me wear pants to church, so that didn't work out either. My mom would just fix them and make me wear them anyway. But the more I pushed, the more they pushed me, the further I pulled away. I just never felt as though I belonged anywhere. They were always very persistent and sometimes even condemning in their words about how I conducted myself as a girl. It really made me feel bad about myself sometimes. People nowadays, they talk about like the whole gender identity crisis. I never really felt that way. I never felt like I was supposed to be a boy. I never felt like I was supposed to be a man. I just didn't feel like I was a stereotypical girl. I didn't know what I was supposed to be or what I was supposed to be doing. However, I did think as a kid that if I were a boy, my life would somehow be a whole lot easier. I just needed to figure out how to kiss my elbow. Right, Courtney? If I could kiss my elbow, I could make it all go away. When I was about 7 or 8, I found a passion that I thought was going to save everything. Couldn't believe it was true. I found baseball. I loved the game, and I was so good at it. No hitters at age 10, I was running circles around all the boys. But just like everything else at this point that I experienced in my life, baseball was not for girls. Couldn't play on the All-Star team, even though I got picked every year, because I was a girl. This was, y'all got to remember right now, I'm like almost 50 years old. It's just a long time ago. There was no girls playing sports back then. Couldn't play on the All-Star team. They wouldn't let me play. I played up until my teen years, but when I wasn't allowed to try out for the high school baseball team, I just kind of gave up and just quit playing altogether. I also found football as a kid. Wanted to play that, but my mom wouldn't let me play either. That wasn't for girls as well. She wasn't thrilled about me getting a motorcycle, but I got one of those. She wasn't happy about it. But anyway, I still felt like I just didn't fit anywhere. Like everything that I wanted to do and everything I found a passion for was kind of knocked down because of what I was, you know, just because of what I was. I felt like I didn't fit in and just felt alone and that there was nobody else anywhere that could possibly feel or be feeling the same thing that I felt. Anyway, back to some family stuff. We stopped attending church when I was 11 or like 10 or 11 years old. I don't really remember why we did. But soon after that, my mom became very depressed. She was in and out of mental hospitals, placed on medications, and eventually given some sort of diagnosis. I don't remember what it was. I just tried to stay mentally and physically far away from that. She was out of the picture most of my preteen and teen years. And I suppose that it just got to my dad. And after, you know, 12 or 13 years old, they got divorced. My older siblings were already out of the house. I had two, my brother and my sister. So I was there by myself with them. My mom was basically committed for some time, so I ended up living with my dad, which at the time was not a bad idea because he didn't make me be a girl. Not a really girly girl anyway. And he was so busy with his own life that it made being a teenager a whole lot more fun. It was really easy to be a bad teenager. I saw my mom every now and then after she got out and released, but we never really had a relationship until about 5 years later. Around age 15 or so is when the gates opened up and the devil came rolling in with all this temptation. That's about the time it hits everybody, I think. The ways of the world were very appealing, like they are to most teenagers. And when my dad, busy with his own life and out of the picture and me with no real direction, it was a wide open door for self-destruction. I began failing at school, hanging out with the wrong crowd, experimenting with drugs and alcohol, not really caring about anything. I didn't have any direction from anywhere and not one plan for the rest of my life. What I realized at this point was that I still just didn't fit in anywhere. I still felt alone. I still felt empty. Had a couple of girlfriends that were in the neighborhood, but I just didn't get it. They were real feminine. I just didn't get it. I couldn't fit in. I just couldn't find my spot, my thing. As most teenage girls do, I dated a couple guys because I figured that's what I was supposed to be doing. That's what everybody else was doing. So I was just trying to fit in. And of course, sexual immorality was how I got some attention and some acceptance. But that was truly not pleasing either, because now I didn't fit in and I was felt like I was being used all at the same time. God would always talk to me, and that voice would often make me feel guilty about my actions, but I always kept indulging in my own pleasures. Kept on experimenting with life and all it had to offer for me. Then it happened. 16 and pregnant. I had no idea what to do. I was basically still a kid myself. After long discussion with my dad and some other family members, it was decided to terminate the pregnancy. At the time, I had no idea what kind of impact that this would have on my life. I had no idea the weight that that decision would bear on me. At the time, I didn't know how to talk to God about what was going on. I really didn't know much about anything. At age 17, because it was still an option, I dropped out of high school because that was something you could do back then. I got a job, and I got lost bad in the world, and I thought I knew everything. Even though my dad was always there for me when I needed him, I ran from him and basically wrote him off too. He got remarried, had two other kids, which were my little brothers. If you were at the baptism, you met one of them. He had two other kids, and I really didn't have anything to do with him or his family for a long time. I was very rebellious. I was very angry, lost, blaming everybody except myself for everything that was happening. I kept asking, why? Why me? Why couldn't I have the fun like everybody else was having and things not happen to me? I wasn't doing anything that anybody else wasn't doing. So let's fast forward a couple years. Age 19. Let's get to the good stuff. I found myself with a whole new set of challenges. I was still lost in the world, and yep, 19 with a baby on the way. I had regained a relationship with my mother, and I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. My son, Michael, who some of you have met, was born April 15th, 1990. It was an Easter Sunday that year, and I turned 20 years old in October. At that point in my life, he was the best thing that had ever happened to me. He was a true blessing from God. Michael's dad and I were together about 3 years when I decided that he wasn't what I wanted either, or what I needed either in my life. He wasn't wanting to go in the same direction, and I was going to make something of myself, and I couldn't do it with him. I wanted more than what I thought he could offer, more than what I thought my family had to offer at this point. I broke it off with Michael's dad, and I began a new chapter in my life. Remember, though, through all of this, like I said, God was still walking with me. He never once left. I still prayed when times were bad, and he still talked to me often, asking me to surrender my life to him, telling me what I should be doing and what I was doing wrong. I just didn't want to hear it, and I didn't know how to utilize what relationship I did have with him. I didn't understand that all I had to do to fix all of this mess was to give my life to him. I didn't realize that my suffering and pain was a direct effect of the decisions and the deliberate sin, and the enemy made sure that it wasn't easy for me to see that. I just thought that it was life. I thought that it was because of how I was raised. It was just the life that I had been dealt. I never knew how life-changing that it would be to have a true relationship with God. Soon after Michael's dad and I split up, an old friend came back into my life. We had been friends since we were 10 years old and somehow just lost touch and grown apart. During a conversation we had at a family meeting one night with some of her family members, I found out that she was gay. At first, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe this. This was so wrong. I had been taught all of my life that homosexuality was a sin, that it was an abomination and would send you straight to hell. That's what my dad always said. But even with that, I was so intrigued and was so pleased to have her back into my life. After a couple of weeks and a few conversations, she invited me out with some friends to a local bar. I was very nervous, but very curious about what I was about to experience. God had already spoken to me and told me that I shouldn't go, but the magnetism and the temptation was just too strong. It was the enemy again. I can tell you that I've never felt more at home and more comfortable than I did when I walked in that bar that night, and I hadn't even started drinking yet. I felt like I had finally found, you know what I'm talking about. I felt like I had finally found where I belong, what I had been missing out on all of my life. I experienced no judgment. There was no one trying to change who I was. And there were other people just like me, other people who acted the same way, who looked the same way, and I would soon learn felt the same way. This was all new to me, but it did bring up memories of like middle school. I remember having a little bit of these feelings when I was in middle school. Didn't realize and didn't accept at the time that it was any type of attraction. All I could hear playing in the back of my mind was how wrong it would be. My dad was telling me that. I do, however, remember lots of little flirting and childish stuff going on, but nothing really. It just kind of brought all these memories back. But at that bar, I had finally found my home, so I thought. I know now that Satan had strategically placed this in front of me, and he knows exactly how to win us over, exactly what our weaknesses are, and I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. I had finally found myself. I was gay. It was great. That's why I'd felt so different all of my life. Now it all made sense. It took me a while to tell all of my family what was going on, and of course I was met with anger, confusion, and total opposition about my decision. Some went as far as to threaten bad things, but most just didn't talk about it. For the next few years, my family and I grew further and further apart. Once again, the enemy, separating family. I mean, it was all tolerated. What was going on was all tolerated, but no one condoned it, and no one was happy about it. All right, God's continued pursuit, because he's still pursuing. I remember early on into this new life, it was great, but I would sometimes have that conflict of emotions inside of me about what I was doing. This voice that would show up and tell me that what I was doing was wrong. But it didn't change anything. I just kept on going. I knew the scriptures that spoke about homosexuality, and I sometimes would try to twist it around so that it didn't read the same thing about women as it did for men. And if you know any of the scriptures, it's really easy to do that. Until you find one, Romans 1, 18 through 32. I'll read 1, 26 through 28 for you. It speaks specifically, it's the only one I think that specifically says women. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchanged natural relations for those that were contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations for women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to their debased mind to do what ought not be done. So basically, God gave up on them. And I didn't want that to happen to me. I would judge others and say that my sin was no worse than them, trying to convince myself that it was all going to be okay. Once saved, always saved, right? About a year, I don't think Trisha showed up. I had a friend coming that didn't make it, so this is about her, or not the next one is. I remember about a year into this, I was at a bar one night and with my friends, and I remember just sitting there, sitting on the side watching people dance. I don't remember what the song was, but it prompted me to just have this vision, and it was all God, I know it was. I remember thinking, man, this is so wrong. I could see, like, the dance floor, and all these people were dancing. It was dark, and the music was really loud, and I could just picture that was, like, hell, and all of these people were just dancing, and it was so real. It was like the scariest thing ever. And I just kept thinking, you know, if these people don't change their ways, then why am I even here? Like, what am I doing here? But everybody's going to go to hell if you don't figure out what's going on here. And I just kept questioning myself, why am I even here? What am I doing? And I could just visualize it. And it was crazy. I could almost feel the presence of the devil, like just laughing and celebrating the victory of all those people that were standing out there that he was going to take with him. And you know what? After that experience, it didn't change anything. Right back the next day, I was doing the same thing. For 26 years, I have fought the battle within myself of whether I'd go to heaven. For 26 years, y'all. I mean, you remember those cards they used to hang out, the little track cards with the guy thinking on it, and it says, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? Always used to think about that. Had the little picture of the guy on it. That kept playing over and over and over in my mind. Am I going to go to hell if I continue this lifestyle? Is God going to eventually give up on me? Which I didn't know that scripture when I was thinking that. Am I really gay? Was I born this way? Am I just now figuring this out? Is this why I've always felt so different? And if it's so wrong, how do I get out of it? And why would God let this be if it was so wrong? I think these are a lot of questions that everyone in this lifestyle asks someone at some point or themselves. And these are questions that as disciples of Christ, you should be ready to answer and back up with Scripture. Sorry. I had a few, through this 26 years, I had a few long-term but failed relationships with women throughout all of the years. I never lost complete touch with God. I always prayed when I got scared and I needed something or when things were not going my way. I always knew that He was there because He would talk to me often, trying to convince me to change my ways. And I had a lot of bad ways. When things would turn for the worse, I would ask for help. It was always the same feeling of guilt. And God just kept saying, you know you really shouldn't be doing this. You know this is wrong, right? Then things would get better. He'd answer my prayers, I suppose. Things would get better, and everything would go back to normal. And I'd feel at peace again and just go back to my normal life. I was truly a mess. I actually wrote, I was a mess, y'all. But I just couldn't figure it out. I prayed many times over the past 2 decades for God to rescue me, to fix me and save my soul so that I wouldn't spend eternity in hell. He would give me an out. Did it plenty of times, and then I'd go right back to doing the same old thing. One time, this is the story about the lady that didn't show up. One time, early on in the season of my life, I was at this church with a friend of mine whose kid played baseball on a team that I coached when they were little. The Holy Spirit had a really strong presence that morning in that church. I went to the altar, and I started praying and started sobbing to God and asking Him to rescue me from this life. And y'all remember, this is 23 years ago. And I was just sobbing. And this guy, I don't even know who he was, but he was from the church. He walked up behind me. He put his arm around me, and he said, quote, "Feels good to be home, doesn't it?" Oh, thank you. Oh, I got it. I'll put it right here. So, yeah, while I was up there, this guy walks up, and he says, and he puts his arm around me, and he just asked me, he said, you know, it feels good to be home, doesn't it? And it did. I never met this man before. I don't remember who he was. He just knew. He knew that God was on me that morning, and it felt really good. It felt like I'd finally been rescued again. But guess what? A couple of days later, I was right back to my old self, doing the same things that I'd been doing before. I'd get pulled in by God and then slip away to sin again. And the devil knew exactly what to place in front of me, exactly what to use to keep me away from the relationship that God had waiting for me. I had another encounter that happened. There was a guy that worked with me, and he was not the best person to hang around with. But he started attending church regularly. He got saved, and he invited me to come to church. And same thing, got there. God started speaking to me. I was like, man, this is it. I'm going to do it this time. And about 2 weeks later, I was right back to doing my old thing again. I remember wanting so badly to feel like he did. Like, he was so happy, and he was so joyful, and I wanted to feel that. But I knew what it was and where it came from. I just wasn't ready to give up the world to receive it. I'm almost done. Don't go to sleep. So this was my last failed attempt at having a happy life without God at the forefront. So I met this girl. She was a self-proclaimed atheist, as though at this point in my life, her being a girl wasn't enough for me. I mean, he's trying to tell me, and then, I mean... So, it was on. It was a perfect relationship. We were built for each other. We had a great life together. Just like any other couple, we had, plans. We were together for 10 years. And then when same-sex marriage came legal in Georgia, we legally got married, April 23rd, 2016. During our 12-year journey, our families and friends became very intertwined. It was a great life together. We watched my son Michael grow up and have kids of his own. We bought a farm and had plans for our future, retirement, travel, watching the kids grow up on the farm and play. Her family was also Christian and not accepting and did not condone our lifestyle, but tolerated the relationship well. They loved me like I was family and always made me feel that way. Still, in the middle of all of this worldly happiness that I had, there were many times that I felt like that I was letting God down. There were times that I felt like I was not fulfilling God's plan for my life. I would sometimes still have those thoughts about my salvation. I still felt like there was more. There was still an empty spot that I tried to fill with all my friends, drinking a lot, parties, and everything else that I could think of. I was chasing happiness that I couldn't find anywhere. I just didn't have that true relationship with God, and I didn't know how to. I prayed many times for God to just take it away, to take away that feeling of guilt, to give me the courage to stand up and defend what I really believed in my heart, to defend Him. I had many times to do that, and I didn't. To take away the sin and to give me a new direction. He gave me plenty of opportunities to change throughout this relationship. Plenty of, like many times before, plenty of opportunities to speak up about my conflicting thoughts, but I just didn't. I never took any of the opportunities. Our relationship started to grow farther and farther apart. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I just know that it was all God's doing. We got separated in November 2018 and was legally divorced in March of 19, and then I showed up here. That's when the new season began. My flesh and worldly emotions were still very real, and I was very bitter, and my soul was still lost. I was heartbroken, but I knew down deep that this was all God's work and part of His plan. So I just went with it, and I can recall to y'all the exact moment that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was working on a project at my house right after the separation happened. Things were not going well with the project that day, and I was really frustrated. Things were not going well in life in general. I gave up. I fell on the floor on my face, and I just wept, begging God to come in and rescue me and to show me which way I should be going. I began to pray. Felt like I prayed for an hour. And finally, God said, plain as day, don't do another thing here. You're not going to be here much longer. Get up, brush yourself off, and let's get to this. We got work to do. I felt like 1,000,000 pounds had been lifted off my heart. God had finally gotten my attention, and I finally listened to Him. I felt some peace, and I was excited for the next steps in my new life. And I had a long way to go. Psalm 107:10-13. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Some sat in darkness and in shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. And I got one more. Isaiah 55. I think you read. Did you read this one? Isaiah 55, 6, 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon His name. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man be his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And He did. I started listening to an audio Bible, one that one of my patients had given me about a year ago. It was still in my bag. I pulled it out. I was like, I got that. So I pulled it out, I downloaded it, started listening to that. I started watching movies about Jesus' life, the Bible series. I started reading my Bible again. I began reading devotionals, reading faith-based books. I started making a journal, started praying. I had lots and lots and lots of time praying. God spoke to me as plain as I am to you right now, and He told me to be still, to not to worry anymore. He told me that I needed to find a church and I needed to go and start attending. I was still really scared of this transition, so I figured that using the grandkids as a distraction would be a good idea. Everybody wants to see the kids in church, right? So I began taking the kids to church every Wednesday night. We found a church that was really close to my house where I was living at the time, so we went a few times. I was up for trying a bunch of different churches until I found out where God wanted us to be. So I figured it would be easier if I had the kids with me, and it was. It was great. Even though I was excited about this new chapter, I was still struggling with some depression and worry, not knowing where I would end up. I knew Courtney from work. She worked in the ER. And I heard through some of the coworkers there that she was really strong in her faith. We really weren't friends at all. We just kind of knew each other. I asked her one night at work where she went to church. And just like she probably has 100 times in her past, she invited me to Life Church. See? We had a couple of conversations at work, but I remember one conversation in particular when I was trying to convince Courtney one night that I really wasn't that lost in my faith, that I like grew up in church and I knew what I was talking about and all that. And she looked at me with this voice and I said, quote, I grew up in church too, Wendy. But until recently, I didn't think that that statement really should have applied to me, but I understand that now. Anyway, we visited one Wednesday night and it was good. I liked it, but the drive from where I was living was just too far. I had to go get the kids and come here and go all the way back. It was just crazy. So we kept going to that other church that was closer to home. But Levi, the oldest grandkid, he just wouldn't let it go. He kept asking me to take him back to that church where Miss Courtney went. And he did this for 2 or 3 weeks, and finally we just went back to Life Church. And that Wednesday night, I don't remember if it was Stephen or if it was Nolan. I don't remember who was talking. I don't remember what they talked about. But I know that God spoke to me and he told me this is where I needed to be. I remember that feeling. Remember that feeling I told you about in the bar when I felt like that was home and that's where I was supposed to be? It didn't compare anything to that Wednesday night. It was great. So I had no idea that night that right now, at this point, that my faith would be this strong and that I'd be sitting here right now talking to you, sharing this story. I began to submerge myself even more. Y'all okay? I just got a couple more. It's just a couple more. I began to submerge myself even more in the Bible, books, movies, and anything that had to do with Jesus. The devil didn't like this at all. And as he always does, he came at me with a vengeance, placing doubt and fear back into my heart. Fear that I wouldn't be able to do this without my worldly crutches. Fear that I would lose all of my friends and that I would be lonely. Fear that I would not and could not be accepted by any church family after all that I'd been through and all that I'd done. But God kept my head up and I kept praying and listening and obeying. And things began to happen. Blessings everywhere. God provided me with a place to live that was close to work, really close to work. There was blessings everywhere. He made it possible for me to arrange my schedule at work so that I could attend Sunday church and not just Wednesdays. He provided financial support through extra opportunities for work, and it felt good. I felt good at that point about where I was for the first time in a long time. But I was still struggling some. The devil just wouldn't stop. It was so evident to me that I was being pulled in two different directions. I was still living secretly in sin. I was still drinking a lot, even more now. Still bitter about the divorce and leaving my whole life behind. I was still blaming the wrong people and the wrong things for how I felt. That was until I finished a book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidemann. If you hadn't read it, I suggest you go get it and read it. That book changed my perspective on my faith and what it meant to be a true follower of Christ. After finishing it, I put the alcohol down 105 days today. I built a war corner because my apartment is way too small for a war room. So I got a corner. Courtney's seen it. I began to pray even more, praying that God would show me what I was supposed to be doing and to give me direction for my life. And that's when my true 100% surrender happened. I decided that no matter what the cost, I would no longer deliberately partake or condone in any sinful acts. God had placed such a peace in my heart. I don't worry about anything anymore. He's filled me with a conviction to follow him and to spread the good news of his power and salvation and to be a true disciple of Christ. He has taught me that no matter what this world may bring, he's always more powerful, full of understanding, forgiveness, and mercy. God is helping me to mend some relationships with some family. We're still working on it, but we're getting there. He's placed a peace about me and my soul that I had no idea could exist. I began to see things in a different way, and I could finally be positive that the answer to that question on that card was heaven. My anger and worry were gone, anxiety gone, desires for things that used to fulfill me gone, my homosexual lifestyle gone. I can really feel God working in me, and conversations with all the believers here at this church have helped me realize what a powerful testimony I would have had and be able to share it with people and the world and how it might possibly bring someone to Christ. It might help someone in their own struggles, their own guilt and shame, and their own prison. Or it may help someone know that they're not alone and forgotten by the Father. Maybe it can even help a believer in their witness so that they can better understand people who have faced some of the same things that I have. I believe in the power of prayer. I know that there have been multiple people, which was one of the ladies that didn't show up tonight, multiple people praying for me. I'm sorry. I'm going to get her. She's going to come to church. I'm going to get her. I believe in the power of prayer, and I know that there have been multiple people praying for me for a very long time, praying for this season to be over, and here it is. Just remember that your prayers matter. God hears them all. If there is someone in your life or even somebody here tonight that needs help with anything personally, keep praying. He's listening. I understand now that I have been blaming God for a long time for the bad things that have happened in my life, for me having to struggle so much. I've held a grudge thinking that I had done enough good stuff in my life not to have to go through all of this. Now I can see that my God would never punish me for anything, that all I have ever had to do was surrender my life to him and trust in his ways, and he would see me through. Doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to good people. It just means that God always has, he can always see you through, and he's more powerful. And to me, turning away from the homosexuality was just a small part of what God did in my life. The transformation of my heart is what the big thing is. He's taken away all the worry, all the living in sin. He just took it all away. I mean, that was just a really small part. Seems to intrigue people, but it's not the big part of what he did. I wonder sometimes what my life would have been like if I'd have just surrendered a long time ago and not gotten so lost. But then I think, I really just like me the way I am. And I know that God has forgiven me for all of it. He's delivered me from my doubt in myself, my guilt and my shame for the things that I've done. And he has given me a new start and a new life in him. This is my favorite one. Isaiah 44:22 says, I blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sin like the mist, like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Remember that everybody has a story. We don't know where somebody comes from, and we don't know what they've encountered to get to where they are. Remember to always be kind in your words. Always strive to understand that each other's experiences shape who they are and their personalities, shapes their thoughts. It builds who we are as people, who we are as disciples of Christ. Without those scars, we wouldn't have our testimonies, and we wouldn't be able to share the glory of God. Let go of all of your brokenness, give it to God, and let his light shine through your life.